Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, July 13th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride, whether out of morbid curiosity or to enjoy a cathartic moment together here as we commiserate. Welcome. It is a wild and dystopic ride, to be sure. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be, at least while we still have road and can warrior, but not in Marx's conflict style. So let's dive in, shall we? Since we began with the Fallout Boy redo of Billy Joel's classic, We Didn't Start the Fire, maybe we should start with some historical events, shall we? Things that we may recall and other things perhaps we don't. From history, 1700, the Treaty of Constantinople establishes peace after the Russo-Turkish War. That's an interesting discussion, but we probably don't want to have that because that's just too far back, too antiquated, right? There are others we could point to further back, but we won't. In 1772, Captain James Cook began his second voyage to the South Seas aboard HMS Resolution to search for Terra Australis, the southern continent. In 1787, the U.S. Congress adopted the Ordinance of 1787, the Northwest Ordinance, as it's otherwise known, establishing the first organized U.S. territory and set requirements for statehood, guaranteeing equal status with original 13 states, outlawing slavery and protecting civil liberties. That was 1787. And skipping forward more recently, which is all we're really interested in, right? We'll just sort of bounce around a little bit. 2013, this is one that is perhaps notable. Speaking, you know, when we start the Fallout Boy homage to Billy Joel, I think of that beginning, you know, Captain Planet, Arab Spring, LA Riots, Rodney King. I would argue that there is a correlation between Arab Spring and the LA Riots and Rodney King. Can't we all just get along? Speaking of the Arab Spring, something that people will recall perhaps, July 13, 2013, the hashtag Black Lives Matter first appeared, sparking a movement, as some say. It's actually not quite that way. These things are Smith in Bernaysian sort of fashion, or perhaps Toynbeean sort of fashion, as Arnold J. Toynbee, historian extraordinaire across the pond, intimated. It was actually his wife who I think was the one who sort of spilled the beans on how this game is played, where these guys get together and in Bernaysian fashion, they smith these talking points or hashtags these days that might make things go viral. Before Malcolm Gladwell wrote The Tipping Point, there was Bernays, obviously, and how can we engineer the viral spread of a social trend? And now it's just sort of an established fact of history. So I would say that the new BLM, because the original BLM was the Black Liberation Movement, right? So the new BLM, the Black Lives Matter, is fully in keeping with that whole revolutionary concept that I've talked about lately. The ghost of Saul Alinsky, in this case, because it's domestic, but also the ghost of Gene Sharp and Karl Marx and at so many all. So that's one fun thing that's happened on July 13th throughout history. 1985, the Live Aid concert seems to be a thing that a lot of folks point to and remember. Sandra Bland died in jail in 2015 after the traffic stop confrontation. Some people remember that. In 1978, Henry Ford II fired Lee Iacocca. And ironically, there was also the GM recall of 800,000 cars, vans, and trucks due to malfunctioning airbags. So in 78, Lee Iacocca was fired by Henry Ford II. And following the ending of his career at Ford, Lee Iacocca obviously took over as Chrysler's chairman when he restructured the company. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and that's an interesting fun fact. So Mr. Bordop says, don't forget, we were tagging everything BLM for the Bureau of Land Management, Lavoie Finicum, et cetera, and it got buried by Black Lives Matter. Absolutely. And we started referring to, and BLM was known, you know, the I don't think it's really an acronym as much as it's just initials. The initials BLM stood for Bureau of Land Management. And, you know, once this caught on, then it overshadowed the Black Lives Matter BLM overshadowed the Bureau of Land Management BLM. And it's interesting how those things work. And obviously, the confrontation, speaking of Lavoie Finicum, that was a few years later in 2016, but it really caught on. And then there's the, you know, the Occupy stuff and all of that. These things, it's interesting if you watch, search how when something is maybe sticky, speaking of the viral spread of a social trend, when something seems to be organically sticky and taking off, there are these kinds of things where, you know, something will sort of subsume the search traffic, as Mr. Bordop points out in this case. Hopefully that makes sense. JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, was nominated for president on this day in 1960. The first World Cup was held in 1930 on this day. And in America, I think, you know, we care about as much today as we did then about World Cup. I don't know, maybe it's just me. Ghost, the movie, opened in theaters on this day in 1990. The last woman hanged for murder. Yes, the word is hanged. The last woman hanged for murder in Great Britain on this day in 1955. And one other fun fact that sort of stands out to me, well, maybe a couple. On this day in 1998, after the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, in 1998, the Russian loan from the IMF of $22 billion, as Russia continued its economic problems, the International Monetary Fund swept in to rescue Russia. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this reminds me of the constant sort of notion, I guess, the inconvenient reminder that when we hear that China is our great enemy, they have debt too, right? Who holds all of this debt? remember Carol Quigley wrote Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And he talked about this banking cabal that was going to try to take over the world. And the apex of this was the Bank for International Settlements, the BIS. And then he wrote the Anglo-American Establishment, which was published posthumously. Why would it need to be published posthumously? Even Amazon, to this day, has the book description that which reads, Quigley exposes the secret societies established in London in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes. Quigley explains how these men worked in union to begin their society to control the world. He explains how all the wars from that time were deliberately created to control the economies of all the nations. Meanwhile, you keep everybody distracted, infighting, not really able to see what's happening in what they might refer to as the long game. If it's a generation or more, 20 years, I mean, who has that kind of attention span? So the IMF loaned Russia $22 billion to help stabilize its economy. In exchange for what? The conditions included Russia was to stop issuing short-term government bonds, tough new tax reforms and collections, strict controls on public spending. The Duma, Russia's parliament, was due to vote and approve the reform package to ease market pressure, to devalue the ruble. And so, you know, what's interesting to me is it seems that history is repeating itself. Maybe it's just me. I've mentioned in the last about 10 years the lessons from Glasnost and Perestroika, for example, that seem to be repeating, especially as we came through the Obama years. Glasnost translated to English, of course, translates to openness and transparency, which we heard a lot throughout the Obama administration. And so those are just fun facts. Maybe a couple other things back in history, again, bouncing around a little bit. How about in 1863, as part of the American Civil War, the New York City draft riots began. 3 days of rioting, which were later regarded as the worst in United States history. The Treaty of Berlin, on this day, the European powers redrew the map of the Balkans. In 1878, Serbia, Montenegro, and Romania became completely independent of the Ottoman Empire. And so the concept of Balkanization begins, the breakup and the idea of taking something that is homogenous and breaking it down to a point where eventually there's no cohesion. So a small force that opposes these people that were previously homogenous, small force can easily conquer and dominate those people who would otherwise be united. And then skipping forward to 1913, the 1913 Romanian army cholera outbreak broke out during the Second Balkan War, which began. And so there are some other fun episodes throughout history, births and deaths. Um, one that might be interesting to some people. Well, maybe a few. Jack Kemp, American football player and politician, 9th United States Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, born on this day in 1935. I think Patrick Stewart. Yeah, Patrick Stewart was born on this day in 1940. And Harrison Ford also was born on this day in 1942. Among other notable folks, at least to some people. Michael Spinks, the boxer, born in 1956. And that's probably enough. George Steinbrenner died on this day in 2010. And I think we'll leave it at that. And transitioning from on this day, you know, I was thinking maybe we keep it kind of light and sort of anecdotal, but maybe we'll bounce around a little bit. Those are things that have happened throughout history. So how far have we come in America? I want to talk about that a little bit for a moment. And we'll see kind of where we go from there. Stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
And so it begins. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. Representative Boebert's resolution to impeach President Biden did not get the privilege status that she was hoping for. Privilege status would have forced the House of Representatives to vote on the resolution. Instead, the impeachment was sent to committee. Technically, that means that the investigation has begun. But many bills and resolutions never come out of committee and effectively die. I don't understand why an investigation is needed. President Biden stood at a podium and told us that all of his constitutional advisors said the eviction moratorium during COVID was unconstitutional, but he was going to do it anyway. Like me, Biden is bound by an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And he openly admitted on camera that he was not going to do that. That alone should be enough to impeach any office holder at any level, regardless of party affiliation. If you own firearms, you need carry insurance. Get the most affordable carry insurance on the market, according to Pew Pew Tactical, and save 10% by using code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back. But these tears I can't hold inside. All right, so how far have we come? I want to talk about that in a minute. Speaking of the IMF and powers that shouldn't be, the union to control the entire world, basically, and how the wars in contemporary history have all been created to control the economies of all the nations. War is big business. And before we get to how far we've come and how much we're getting fleeced now, a couple of examples of that. Points of clarification. From Mr. Bordop, so speaking of on this day, back to that, from the Bundy standoff, remember the 2014 Bundy standoff? From the Wikipedia entry, Bundy standoff Wikipedia entry, the ongoing dispute started in 1993 when, in protest against changes in grazing rules, Bundy declined to renew his permit for cattle grazing on BLM-administered public lands near Bunkerville, Nevada. BLM, obviously, in this case, stands for Bureau of Land Management. And that has been the issue. You know, that was the issue throughout these proceedings and confrontations and so on. You know, obviously through the Malheur Wildlife Refuge incident and what ensued thereafter. But then there was a transition, and that was overshadowed. That BLM was overshadowed, and basically that sort of sank to the depths of the sea, never to be as poignantly remembered, or, you know, that would be the intention, I would say. So what are you saying? Getting to the point in this, Again, from the Wikipedia entry, in July 2013, federal judge Lloyd D. George ordered Bundy to refrain from trespassing on federally administered land in the Gold Butte and Clark in the Gold Butte area of Clark County. And so, and again, you know, speaking of BLM, maybe we should play the clip of Greg Walden, Greg Walden's address, because that always comes up in this discussion. January 5, 2016, the YouTube clip is titled Greg Walden Addresses U.S. House on Situation in Harney County, Oregon, Federal Overreach in the West. And we've played that clip where he says there was a dispute with the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, and they wouldn't listen to the congressman who wrote the law in question. Anyway, so he said, usually when this happens, you know, you're supposed to go back and look at what was this, you know, what was the intent of the law as it was written. So you have to go back and look in the records and stuff. And Greg Walden said, in this case, we didn't have to because I co-authored the law. And what happened, we should just play the clip. Maybe we will on the other side of the break. You know, he says they basically inverted the spirit of the law, where the point of the law was to have BLM responsible for fencing, you know, for the putting up and the cost of the fencing. And what ended up happening was, again, because of, you know, if you don't understand how the sausage is actually made, James P. Hill's third house versus the fourth branch of government is in full effect here. The law gets passed, but then it goes to congressional committee staff and agency regulatory decision-making process and worked out through committee to flesh it out. What happens? Well, we'll let Greg Walden speak for himself when we come back. Stick around.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing Terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your Terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite. My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, July 13th, 2023, and we have sort of gone off on a tangent a little bit, unpacking on this day in history, a little bit as a point of sort of nuanced point of clarification regarding the Black Lives Matter hashtag, which just magically appeared in 2013, first sparking a movement, according to the History Channel and others, but actually that's sort of backwards. And I touched on that. Mr. Bordop offered a point of clarification. We have a couple of others. We'll play the clip that I mentioned in a second, Greg Walden in his own words. It's kind of an extended clip, about 7 minutes or so, just for the background, for the entire background. You probably remember you may recall, since you're listening to this network, the Bundy controversy, again, dating back to the 90s, and the sort of background of the controversy there. But you might not remember some of the specifics. And coming forward again, this controversy, I think, is really central to a number of things. And there are dynamics here that I don't really want to dive into and unpack. You know, there's the COWS, the Coalition of Western States. There's the, you know, talk of secession and, you know, the Constitutional Convention, the Con, which is a big con, and all kinds of different directions we could go. I don't want to unpack any of that. But, you know, coming forward, there was the Hammond arson case, as it has come to be known, Dwight and Stephen Hammond. And that was, you know, I remember talking to Ammon Bundy the morning of the rally, the march rally thing, protest march rally thing. And I think he was even on the broadcast, if memory serves, momentarily. If not, you know, we had a conversation. I actually talked to him. My understanding was that, you know, the thing that happened, you know, the left turn at Albuquerque, so to speak, was not something that was disclosed, to my knowledge. Not that I necessarily know or need to know anything, but then all of a sudden it turns into something entirely different. And we all, I think, sort of remember what happened from there. By the way, you know, do people remember that Donald Trump pardoned Dwight and Stephen Hammond? I don't know if people remember that. But, you know, this was the central underlying theme here was federal overreach and encroachment. And, you know, in the Bundy standoff optics, someone like Cliven Bundy represents the American everyman in a somewhat, I would say, romanticized historical context, you know, generational rancher in southeastern Nevada kind of guy. And so, you know, hopefully that's enough of a background. But back to Mr. Bordop's point. So I mentioned from the Bundy Ranch standoff, the Bundy standoff Wikipedia entry, the ongoing dispute started in 1993 when in protest against changes in grazing rules, Bundy, Cliven Bundy, declined to renew his permit for cattle grazing on BLM-administered public lands near Bunkerville, Nevada. You know, I feel like another helpful companion to this discussion would be the episodes 1 and 2 of True Stream Media's series, Aaron and Melissa Dyke's series, Overlooked, Lost in the Shining Hotel. Episode 1 was the environment. Episode 2 is the management. I think, I don't remember which one it was that they mentioned. And, you know, I feel like maybe we should play that too. The bit about how buffaloes were, population was intentionally diminished by the federal government, specifically to, you know, decimate Native American population, because this was their primary source of food. The idea was to kill the buffalo to kill the Indian, so to speak. And so in a similar sense, with the Bundy standoff, you have Cliven Bundy protesting the changes in grazing rules, declining to renew his permit. So you have this controversy that's brewing. BLM agency officials can't get rid of the nuisance of Cliven Bundy at all in certain ways. So then along comes Greg Walden's law that gets flipped to abuse the ranchers when it's supposed to actually protect them. This is in Oregon, obviously, not Nevada, but it's the same. It's a related issue. It's the same issue, essentially. So anyway, as previously mentioned, again, from the Bundy standoff Wikipedia entry, in July 2013, federal judge Lloyd D. George ordered Bundy to refrain from trespassing on federally administered land in the Gold Butte area of Clark County. But if you don't have, you know, if it's open range, essentially, you know, where is the demarcation? And, you know, that becomes a matter of controversy. Anyway, Mr. Bordop adds from the Black Lives Matter Wikipedia entry, Black Lives Matter, BLM, is a decentralized political and social movement that seeks to highlight racism. Well, it's not really so decentralized, is it? Because the BLM, you know, and again, this is a reinvigoration of the previous iteration, the Black Liberation Movement, I think it was, right? In the 70s. Maybe we should hear from folks like Afeni Shakur on that, but that's a different rabbit trail. Not so decentralized, And where do they get all the money? Oh, yeah, there was, you know, that's a whole different discussion. I won't even go down that rabbit hole right now. But Mr. Bordop's last point, the movement, this BLM thing, this BLM, the Black Lives Matter one, began in July 2013 with the use of the hashtag Black Lives Matter on social media after the acquittal of George Zimmerman. So from Zimmerman's Wikipedia entry, again, and that was the Trayvon Martin deal. You probably remember that, which was, you know, an interesting psyop in and of itself. So from the George Zimmerman Wikipedia entry, Zimmerman's trial began on June 10, 2013 in Sanford. On July 13, again on this day, a jury acquitted Zimmerman of the charges of second-degree murder and manslaughter. And of course, that was, you know, not to be crass here, but, you know, one thinks of Benny Hill. You know, he was acquitted of manslaughter. Anyway, so that was obviously a racially charged trial. But the BLM, the Black Lives Matter, what do you call it? Not soundbite, but the you know, again, getting back to the point of the viral spread of a social trend, that soundbite essentially all of a sudden subsumes and overtakes the Bureau of Land Management, BLM, and all of its optics are sort of subsumed. But again, why is this important? Well, what Greg Walden said is why it's important. And now I've belabored the issue to the point that if I have to skip the next break, we'll see. Anyway, okay, so we'll skip the break and I will quit belaboring the issue. Hopefully all of that makes sense. And it's a curious moment it's curious timing. I agree. It's all very curious. And this issue that Americans should be upset about, and this should really take us back in our history to the discussion of property. And that's part of my lament. I'll get back to that. How far we've come and how much we're getting fleeced now. Maybe just quickly, since we're going to skip the break anyway, back in the day, you know, just as a primer, because property matters. Back in the day, since, as Henry Ford mentioned, people could grow their own fuel in their own backyard, service stations, remember service stations? Service stations offered to check and even top off your fluids while fueling up your automobile. Because, you know, you could do most of the stuff yourself, but it was the convenience, right? They offered great full service with a bright and cheerful disposition. And gradually, because of the convenience, and I would emphasize con and convenience, people lost sight of this. And again, it's the long game at work. And over time, each successive generation became acclimated to self-service while still paying for full service. This is what we're doing at the grocery store and every other store now. And Sebastian Maniscalco says, what do I work at the grocery store now? I agree. Do I get a discount since I'm working here? I'm the checker now. But we're still paying full price. Full service price for self-service service. Today, does the local fascist energy co-op offer to service your EV? Do they even offer a DIY drive-through car wash or anything? Nope, just a handle. Get it yourself is the message. And, oh, by the way, pay full service price. Anyway, property matters, and I would say that's kind of, in my humble estimation, one of the biggest reasons why the Bureau of Land Management soundbite shouldn't go away. But then BLM, Black Lives Matter, represents something much bigger. It's the antithesis of this idea of the hardworking farmer who you know, or the rancher in this case, obviously, who, you know, is trying to earn an honest living with, you know, by the work of his own hands, in large part, versus those who are constantly griping that they are owed some kind of handout. It's the humble versus the entitled, you know, mindset. It's those dynamics at odds. Anyway, without further ado, Greg Walden in his own words on exactly what happened. Can we play that, please?
I want to talk about what happened with the Hammonds. And I want to put in perspective of what happens almost every year, and that is these enormous wildfires. The Miller Homestead wildfire in 2012 burned 160,000 acres, mostly in this county, if not all, 250 square miles, quarter the size of the state of Rhode Island. That was just in 2012. The Berry Point fire that year in Lake County next door burned 93,000 acres. Last summer alone, we burned 799,974 acres across Oregon. That's both forest and high desert. 2012, 3.4 million acres burned in Oregon. There was another fire in Malheur County, the Long Draw Fire in 2012, burned 557,000 acres, five times the size of Rhode Island. So 93,000 acres, 557,000 acres, 160,000 acres, all burning. The Hammonds are in prison tonight for setting a backfire that they admit to that burned 139 acres. And they will sit in prison, time served, and time going forward, 5 years. Under a law that I would argue is never intended to mete out that kind of punishment. And I'll get that to a moment. I've told you I worked with the Hammonds and many ranchers in Harney County. In the last years of the Clinton administration, despite their own agencies' reviews and analysis, Bill Clinton threatened to create a giant monument on Steens Mountain. When Secretary Babbitt, Interior Secretary at the time, came before the House Resources Committee, of which I was a member, I said, Mr. Secretary, your own resource advisory committees in the area just reported that there was no need for additional protection on Steens Mountain, and yet you and the president are threatening this national monument. Why do you waste the time of the citizens to go through a process to determine if additional protections are needed and then ignore what they came up with? To Bruce Babbitt's credit, he agreed when I told him, I think you'd be surprised about what the local ranchers and citizens of Harney County would be willing to do if you gave them a chance. To his credit, he said, all right, I will give them that chance. And he did. We went to work on legislation. It took a full year. I worked with the Hammonds. I worked with Stacey Davies. I worked with all kinds of folks, put a staffer on it full time, multiple staffs, and we worked with the environmental community and others. And we created the Steens Mountain Cooperative Management and Protection Act. Model legislation, never been done before, because I said, we don't have to live by past laws, we write laws. So we wrote a new law to create a cooperative spirit of management in Harney County. Hammonds were part of that discussion. They say, we saved a running camp that Harlan Wyarty runs. We protected Inholder. We tried to do all the right things and create the kind of partnership and cooperation that the federal government and the citizens should have. Let me fast forward on that particular law. Not long after that became law, and it was heralded as this monumental law of great significance and new era and cooperation and spirit of cooperation, some of those involved on the other side and some of the agencies decided to reinterpret it. The first thing they tried to do is shut down this kid's running camp because they said, well, too many, maybe more than 20, run down this canyon back up, as they had for many, many years. So they wanted to shut it down. So we had to fight them back, said, no, the law says historical standards. Then the bureaucrats, because we said you should have your historical access to your property if you're up on Steens Mountain, you should maintain that access. like you've always had it. Do you know what the bureaucrats said? They began to solicit from the end holders in this area, how many times did you go up there last year? You see, they wanted to put a noose around the neck of those who were inside. That was a total violation of what we intended, and we had to back them off. See, the bureaucracy wants to interpret the laws we write in ways they want. And in this case, they were wrong. Not once, but twice. And then a couple years ago, I learned that despite the fact we created the first cow-free wilderness in the United States under this law, and said clearly in this law that it would be the responsibility of the government to put up fencing to keep the cows out as part of the agreement, the Bureau of Land Management said, no, we're not going to follow that law. And they told a rancher they had to build a fence. I networked with my Democrat colleague, Mr. DeFazio from Oregon, who was part of writing this law. I said, Peter, you remember that, right? He said, yeah, I didn't like it, but that was the case. BLM still wouldn't listen. So we continued to push it. And they argued back. Well, it turns out there had been a second rancher who brought this to my attention, who they were telling had to do the same thing, build the fence, when the government was supposed to, under the law I wrote. The agency, the arrogance of the agency, was such that they said, we don't agree with you. Now, there aren't many times, Mr. Speaker, in this job when you can say, I know what the intent of a law was. But in this case, I could, because I wrote the law. I knew the intent. Oh, that wasn't good enough. No. The arrogance of these agency people was such that we had to go to the archives and drag out the boxes from 2000, when we wrote this law, from the hearings that had all the records for the hearings and the floor discussion, to talk about the intent. And our retired member, George Miller, actually, we used some of his information where he said the government would provide the fencing. They were still reluctant to follow it. So I put language in the appropriations bill that restated the federal law. Do you understand how frustrated I am at this? Can you imagine how the people on the ground feel? Can you imagine? If you're not there, you can't. If you're not there, you can't. You ridicule them.
There you go. And I think that's a fitting companion to the discussion of the overshadowing of that BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, by the new, you know, Black Lives Matter BLM. And it was interesting, you know, that on this day in 2013, it was Black Lives Matter, but then suddenly it becomes BLM. So, you know, and there has been voluminous coverage about the deep pockets funding the new and improved BLM, the reboot of the Black Liberation Movement of the 70s. And what a curious coincidence of timing, indeed, especially with the hashtag, because, again, it was on this day in 2013 that the hashtag Black Lives Matter. Maybe that's just too long. It's too long. If you just another just final sort of point on this controversy. Typically, if you are a social media influencer, air quotes, which I think is a ridiculous thing, it's not real. You want a unique hashtag. If you're trying to shift public opinion or, you know, overshadow and subsume something, as in this case, the argument being made, then you want to co-opt a thing. But if you want to be an influencer, again, air quotes, then you want to find something unique. You want a unique hashtag or series of hashtags so that your thing can go viral and stand independent and not be part of an echo chamber, or, you know, you want more signal and less noise. But if you're trying to subsume something, then you want to drown out other stuff. And obviously, the pockets behind the Black Lives Matter movement are much deeper than the pockets that would seek to pursue a redress of grievances in what Greg Walden just described. And so this gets overshadowed. But again, I think, you know, my misgivings, if you will, about the Bundy, you know, dynamics, and especially ongoing, and the, you know, the Marxist undertones and undercurrents that I perceive anyway in all of that, and the suspicions that I have, that all notwithstanding, still, I think the scenario that Greg Walden outlined there represents the American everyman to a certain extent. Hopefully that makes sense. And that'll do it for the first hour. And I think we pretty much exhausted this day in history a little bit, at least, you know, in some rabbit trails and corners of the interwebs. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.